Good morning. It is a glorious morning here in Martinsville. And I want to first open our service this morning with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just rejoice in you. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to worship. I want to thank you for the opportunity for us to be a testimony and a witness to the people here in Martinsville. I pray for our outreach ministry here in January for the youngsters. I pray that that will go well. I also want to lift up those who were not here. One of them is Roger, and I just want to uplift Roger to keep him healthy, and even though he has not been able to attend, to stay connected with him. Lord, we just want to continue to lift up our country as this is election season, and there's so many disturbing things that are said and done, and we just pray for our leaders, pray for our future leaders, and pray that you will send Christian people to influence our leaders. And we also want to lift up Jerusalem as it continues in war. We ask for the peace of Jerusalem. And we ask all this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Now we want to continue with our call to worship. If everyone could please stand and join me in the call to worship. Welcome this day to the house of our God. We are greeted in peace and in love. Welcome this day to the worshipers of our Creator. We worship in hope and with grace. Welcome this day to our community of faith, where we are sisters and brothers in Christ. Friends, let us worship God. Please open your hymnal to page 366 for our responsive reading. That's page 366. Please join me in the complete reading. Title for guidance. O God, just as we look into a mirror, we see any soiled spots on our face. So let us look to you. In order to understand the things that we have done amiss, we are like a reed shaken in the wind. We are inexpressibly weak. Let us not to ourselves, but dwell in our hearts and guide our thoughts and actions. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now we are going to open and read the scriptures. We will start with our text today, Revelations chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Titled The Judgment at the Throne of God. Then I saw a great white throne, and to him who sat upon it. For those present, earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead and the great and the small stand before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead, which were in them. And there were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So is the reading of the Word of God. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we want to rejoice and thank you for this opportunity to open up your Word, even though this is a topic that many of us are unsure about when talking about judgment and standing before the throne of God. So, Lord, please open up our eyes and open our hearts to understand what this is all about. And we just rejoice in you in the name of Christ our King. Amen and amen. I am continuing in my series of the basics of faith, the basics of the Methodist faith, and also the basic faith of Christianity, which all are twined together. And so, as we look at the scripture, we see that so many lives here on earth act as if there is no God. Act if there's no time of judgment. They're accountable to no one. And so many are chasing wealth. You hear it in our culture. Retire and live the good life. The goal is to retire early. Becca, we were just talking about that at where I work, that everybody just wants to get in, do their thing, and then retire at age 35. In fact, the young are encouraged to build their wealth and save for retirement from a very young age. And of course, it looks like everybody's playing in the stock market nowadays. We got day trading, or you can become rich with cryptocurrency. You know what? It's looking like the history books talked about 1929. Like everybody in the street corner has a bet in the stock market, and everybody wants to get into the game. And of course, you can become a social media influencer. Become famous overnight, and of course, get rich quick. It just seems to preoccupy the culture. All ages. It's not just the young, the old, but it seems across the whole spectrum here in the States now. So many people seem to be willing to sell their soul with no regard for God whatsoever. And you know what? Jesus had some words to say about the rich who wanted more and more and more. And that's back in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge and arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them in a parable, saying, "A land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now you will own what you have prepared? So this man who stores up treasure for himself is not rich towards God.' He said to his disciples, 'For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, nor your body, as to what you will put on.'" So understand in this reading that this man's soul was required of him for that night. All the stuff he was building, all the stuff he was storing, he would not reap the benefits. And this is a very important parable as we point to it. Many point to it and say we should not store any riches. But that's not really what the story is about. It's more about that the rich man was not generous towards God. He was more preoccupied with himself than what the things of God was interested in. But we look at our world today, we see all the rich corporations, and they're not giving towards God, no. And even for them, God expects his 10% minimum. Are the rich in our country giving to God? I think for the most part, no, they don't. I mean, look at the Maui fires, complete devastation. And I found this article in the New York Post, September 13th, 2023, and let me read it to you. It says, earlier this month, the former talk show host, Oprah, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson faced backlash after asking fans to donate money to help those affected by the Maui fires. Despite having a combined net worth of more than $2.8 billion. So here we have some rich folks. They live on Maui. They have beautiful estates. Like, I don't think either one, their estates really burned. But their neighbors did. Many of their neighbors' lives were totally destroyed. And they couldn't be generous towards them. They couldn't help their neighbors. They looked to their fan base to donate money instead of pulling it out of their own pocket. Now, in reflection of this parable that I just read, where Jesus talks about the rich not being generous towards God, I think in reflection of these words, these two people, Oprah and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, God looks at them in a most stern way. And they have it now. But as you know, you can't take your wealth with you to heaven or to hell. How do you think God thinks about these two individuals, Oprah and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who their neighbors were in need and they did not give? They look for their fan base to give. I think God looks pretty sternly against that. And if you think this parable has only this application here, well, I think it has a broader one also in our society. I found another article Biz News, January 16th, 2023. It's titled, "The Normalization of Sudden Death Surges Among Athletes Demonstrate the Extent of Their Societal Pathology." Pretty long title. But between 2021 and 2022, more than 1,650 professional and amateur athletes collapsed due to cardiac events, with 1,148 of these incidents ending in their deaths. This rise and collapse of sudden death among the most unlikely group of people coincides with the introduction of the grossly glorified mRNA COVID-19 vaccines to the general public. Now, I'm not debating about whether the COVID vaccine causes problems or not, but you look at all those athletes, they're in the prime of their life, just like the guy here in the story, where he had everything going from him. His barns were filling up, tear down and do more barns. And yet, in the middle of the prime of their life, their soul was demanded of them, just like here in the parable. So, the question is, could this be you? You think you got many years ahead, and suddenly, God calls you home. Which comes into a question, what happens after you die? Did you realize there are 7 judgments found in Scripture? 7 judgment days. And the question is, which one do you want to attend? First, we've got the judgment of the Old Testament believers. Then we got the judgment of the tribulation saints. And then we have an end of the tribulation surviving Jews. And then we have the judgment of the sheep and the goats. That's 4. And then we've got the judgment seat of Christ. And this is found in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let me read that to you. Second Corinthians 5:10 reads as follows: "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad." Okay. Now, the word "all" refers to only the church people, the people who died in Christ and who are written in the book of life. And then there is the judgment of Satan and his angels, the fallen angels. And this is in Revelations chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, and where the beast and the false prophets are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then we have also on that same topic, Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." So I want you to understand this hell, this lake of fire, it was created for the punishment of Satan and his fallen angels, not for mankind. God never intended for mankind to be thrown into the lake of fire. So what we have is we've got the white throne judgment, which was our original text back there in Revelation 20. And let me reread that, where it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. For those from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them." And of course, no place for found for them were those that were being judged. "And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." So I want to point out, this is the final judgment. It's the judgment that happens after the millennial reign of Christ. It's the final one where Satan and his angels have been cast into the lake of fire, and then everyone else that's left over is now judged. And of course, if they're not found in the book of life, they're cast in the lake of fire. There are no questions asked. And if you note, it says that the earth and the lower heavens are no more. That's because the earth is burned up. There's no more earth. There's no more lower heavens. Earth and what we're accustomed to no longer exists. So these people that are there to be judged, there's no place for them. They can't come into God's heaven. And so where do they go? God has no choice but to throw them into the lake of fire. And of course, we're talking about, using the word them, the great, the small, the dead in Hades, and the dead in the sea. They will all stand before the throne of God and be judged. It says the books will be open, which means that every single deed that everybody is doing is being written down. Whether good deeds or bad deeds, they're all recorded. We have a whole series of angels that we can't see that are writing in these books and keeping tabs. And each individual will be judged according to what they did and was written in these books for their entire life. But they won't be judged by our standards. They'll be judged by God's standards. And of course, Isaiah, back in chapter 64, verse 6, defines what God's standard is according to our righteousness. So Isaiah 64, 6 reads as follows: "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, for all our righteous deeds are like filthy garments, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." So according to Isaiah, no matter what any of these people did, compared to God's righteousness, they didn't pass the test. So everyone who stands before this judgment will be cast in the lake of fire. And you know what? You don't want somebody to be there, especially you. But all those who are written in the book of life escape this judgment. They won't be judged. And the good news is, your name can be written in the book of life just by accepting God's gift. And it's clearly stated in John 3:16, which most of you know John 3:16, but I'm going to read 3:16 through 3:18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the one begotten Son of God. And so, if you want your book, you want your name in the book of life, written in the book with the blood of Jesus, all you have to do is believe and call on his name, and you won't be judged. You'll skip this judgment. You'll be saved. In fact, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart of a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's very simple. Take Jesus up on the offer. So your friends and relatives, tell them this, that they can escape judgment by just believing in Jesus and calling on his name. So what does all this mean? Well, one, judgment day is coming. No matter whether people think it or not, whether they believe it or not, it doesn't matter. Judgment day is coming. And everyone, including you, has a choice of which judgment you'll attend. You can attend the Great White Throne Judgment, or you can attend the Judgment Seat of Christ. I think it's preferred you attend the Judgment Seat of Christ, because there you will not be judged. Take Jesus up on his offer and let him write your name in the book of life with his own blood. I beg you, pass this message on to anyone here in Martinsville who does not profess Christ as their Savior. We want to see everyone's name in Martinsville added to the book of life. Let me close our service with benediction. To all who are loved by God and called to be holy, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace.